Hi, I'm Ray with another podcast episode, this time all about stress, reducing stress. Now, don't get me wrong, I don't have the answer. I'm not going to tell you how to relax and calm yourself down after a stressful day at work. However, I do have some ideas, and there's something that works for me. Now, I've never thought of myself as a stressful person. I don't worry, I don't get stressed. Most of the time I'm relaxed and laid back. No problem. However, as the years go by, as I'm getting older, I do find that I'm beginning to worry about things. I don't know why. I wake up in the night, 2 o'clock in the morning, and I worry. I start thinking, oh, I must do this tomorrow. I mustn't forget. I must do that tomorrow. And then I start watching the clock, and I'm awake for an hour, hour and a half, possibly 2 hours. Why? Just worrying unnecessarily about something I've got to do in the morning. I know someone who stops eating when they're stressed, so they're nice and slim. Now, that's great. You might think that's good. I know someone else who eats when she's stressed, and she won't stop eating. It's not like a comfort thing. And, of course, she's hugely overweight. So it just shows how different people are. Some people will turn to drink, go and sit in the pub for the evening, and drink themselves silly. That doesn't help. It just costs a lot of money. There are various ways other people will listen to relaxing music, perhaps classical music, sit in a room on their own, eyes closed, just listening to the classical music. That helps. For me, I like to go into the woods. Now, there's something very special about the woods. Do you know of Chris Packham? He does the BBC Spring Watch and Autumn Watch programmes, and he lives in the New Forest, which must be lovely. Now, I heard him saying once, now don't quote me on this, but he was talking something about going into the woods made him feel as if he was going home. And he wondered whether that was some sort of instinct from thousands of years ago, some inbuilt instinct of ours, or whatever you want to call it. I forget exactly how he put it. But we used to live in the woods. We didn't live in concrete jungles and tower blocks. We lived thousands of years ago. We lived in the woods with the smell of the woods, with the wild animals, you know, the smell of the fire, the smoke drifting through the trees, the sun shining through the trees. All the smells, sounds, sights, and all the senses of the woods. Now, before you switch off and go and do something else, I'm not a tree hugger. With all due respect to tree huggers, if it works for them, then that's great. But I'm not going to tell you to start hugging trees. In fact, I'm not going to tell you to do anything. I'm just going to tell you what I do. One thing I was always known for was saying, whatever. Someone would say, oh, there's a problem. This isn't right. That isn't right. And I'd just say, whatever. And some people took that I didn't care. It wasn't that I didn't care. It was more, well, there's nothing I can do about it. So whatever. And another one of mine that I'm well known for amongst the family and friends is, it'll be all right in a minute. Whatever it was, oh, this doesn't work, that's not right, what are we going to do? And I'd just say, oh, it'll be all right in a minute. And invariably it was. I think it was that frame of mind I had, that attitude. Not, as I say, not that I didn't care, like, well, whatever, I don't care, be right in a minute. It wasn't so much that, it was, whatever, don't worry about it. Yeah, let's not worry about it. In fact, that attitude of mine, actually, I don't like the word attitude. It wasn't so much an attitude. It was just the way I was. I still am to a great extent. But I think it upset some people. It annoyed people. If someone had a problem and I was just relaxed about it and, well, whatever, it'll be all right in a minute. I think it annoyed them. I think what annoyed them was that they became stressed and I didn't. If it was a joint problem, you know, a friend of mine, we both had a problem, say we were looking at a car or something, I wouldn't become stressed because we couldn't find out what was wrong with the car, whereas he would. And I think him becoming annoyed was with himself rather than at me. He was annoyed that he was getting stressed and I wasn't. As I said, the older I get, the more I start to worry, especially at night. I will lay awake at night worrying for hours, it seems like hours. Then, of course, the next day I'm tired. But it's not in my nature to worry or to become stressed. My wife said to me a few weeks back, there was a problem, I forget what it was, something in the garden. Nothing really, nothing at all. And she said, don't get stressed. Why are you so stressed about it? And I said, I'm not stressed. I'm not. I don't get stressed. I don't let things like that affect me. And I was. It was affecting me. So whether it increases with age, I don't know. It would appear to in my case. So, okay, so let's go back to curing it, or not curing stress, but helping. What do? I go into the woods. As I said, Chris Packham was talking about this well-being feeling, this feeling of when you wander into the woods, that you're at home and there's calm and peace. You're with the wild animals, you're with the trees. Not hugging trees, but by all means, hug them if you want to. I do believe myself that trees, especially pine trees, have some sort of, if I use the word power, you're going to think, oh, here we go, you know, aliens and all that sort of thing. No, there are no aliens in the woods. But I do feel that trees, some of them do have some sort of, what's another word for power? I don't know. You know what I mean? There's something they give off. There's something about them. And possibly hugging them can do something. You might get something positive or healthy or well-being type feeling from doing that. I used to sit on the ground with my back against a pine tree. I suppose that's the same thing as hugging a tree. And that worked for me. But I'm not going to go into that. That's a different thing. What I'm talking about is just walking into the woods and allowing your mind to relax. Just breathe in the air. Listen to the sounds. Look at the sights. You look at the greens and the colours, the browns, different seasons. Last week's podcast episode was all about the seasons. So you know what I mean? When I'm in the woods, you've got snow, you've got sunshine, green leaves, brown gold leaves in the autumn. There's always something lovely about the woods, regardless of the time of year. There might be aliens in the woods, by the way. There might be. You never know. I'm not going to discount aliens hiding in the woods, watching us, spying on us. But that's a completely different issue. Perhaps I should do a podcast episode about aliens in the woods. Right, I digress. Let's get back to relaxing. Now, as I said, thousands of years ago, we did live in the woods. So is there some instinct or whatever, what's a good word? Or another word for the trees is energy. Not power, some kind of energy coming from the trees. I watched a documentary recently. Trees communicate with each other. I mean, they don't chat. Hey, wait, is there any rain later or what? Because I'm thirsty. They don't chat to each other, obviously. But they communicate. Things go on between them. Their roots touch or are close. And there are electrical impulses. I believe that's what it was. Electrical impulses between trees under the ground. And they can actually communicate when there's, for example, I forget what the program mentioned now. Was it not locusts, but a plague of, I don't know, say caterpillars or whatever it was. And one tree can tell another, you know, look out, there's a load of caterpillars on the way. Now, this wasn't using words, obviously. Trees don't speak English. But this was a scientific fact. It wasn't something that some nutter had dreamed up. Just going back to when we lived in the woods thousands of years ago, we lit fires. I suppose fires were going all the time for cooking, for heating. All we had was bonfires, wasn't it, basically? Isn't it strange how, now do you remember, this depends how old you are, do you remember having a real fire in your house, in the dining room or the lounge, coal fire, wood fire, how you could sit there and stare into the flames? They had some sort of hypnotic effect, didn't they? Sort of mesmerise you, stare into the flames and watching them flicker. I wonder whether that comes from, you know, we have some deep-seated, I don't know, memory of, I'm not going to go into past lives, you know, or when I used to be, when I was King Arthur's valet hundreds of years ago. No, but something, some built-in thing about fires, I don't know. It's just something else. It's food for thought, isn't it? What is it about staring into the flames of a fire that is, I don't know, hypnotic? Is that somehow connected to what we did thousands of years ago? I'm just looking at a website, NHS Forest. It says here that hospital gardens can provide the following. Facilitate stress reduction, which helps the body reach a more balanced state. help a patient summon up their own inner healing resources, help a patient to come to terms with an incurable medical condition, provide a setting where staff can conduct physical therapy, horticultural therapy with patients, provide staff with a needed retreat from the stress of work. It's all quite incredible if you have a look around the internet. There's another website, Forestry England. Studies show a significant relationship between stress and the quantity of green space in the living and working environment. So if you're working, well, someone working in the woods, imagine that, a forestry type chap, a lumberjack working in the woods. Well, I don't know about that, because he chops trees down, that might upset the trees. But isn't it odd? All this is coming to light, more and more research and study going on into nature and well-being and the trees and the woods. It's all quite fascinating. Here's something else I've found. Spending time in forests and woodlands can have a significant positive impact on physical and mental health and well-being, a report has found. It was commissioned by the Mersey Forest, compiled by Forestry Commissioners, Forest Research Division. It's all on the internet. There's more and more of this. Mindfulness practice in woods and forests. An evidence review by Dr. Bianca Ambrose. There's so much of it. Close contact with animals is also supposed to be good, isn't it? I know you can't get close to them in the woods, but if you've got pets, for example, being close to and handling pets, it's all part of nature, isn't it? Getting back to nature. Just one thing, talking to the woods. Do you know, nothing to do, I'm just going to digress again. Everything you've got came out of the ground. Your computer, your television, your car, your iPhone, every single part of it, everything you eat, everything you wear, everything around you, everything came out of the ground. Imagine that. So when you're sitting at your laptop, your MacBook or your PC, you look at the keyboard, the screen, all of that came out of the ground. That's quite amazing, isn't it? Nature is quite amazing. The things it's given us, the planet has given us. And I think wood in particular, I read something somewhere the other day that people in wooden houses are far more relaxed. I won't say happier, I forget what it said exactly, but they're more relaxed and their well-being is improved because they're in a wooden house. There's something about wood, I don't know what it is, rather than concrete jungles that we live in, most of us anyway. There's all this talk these days of getting back to nature, living a far simpler and relaxed way of life. The trouble is, I mean, look at the iPhones, look at all the kids at school. They've all got iPhones. And there's the online bullying and the rest of it that goes with it. And I don't know. That's another issue. But it does make you, well, it makes me wonder whether perhaps getting back to nature would be a good thing. I don't mean we all have to throw our iPhones away and switch off the internet, get rid of our cars. You know, not that, that's in the extreme. I know some people want to do that. But I think trying to get back to a calmer way of life would be good for us mentally and physically. Now, I'm going to have a walk in the woods this afternoon. It's raining as I speak. It's raining. But that doesn't matter. It's only water, isn't it? A walk in the woods, actually, in the rain, can be so invigorating. It can be lovely. Listen to the rain on the trees. It's just amazing. I was talking to a friend recently about all this sort of thing, the trees and everything, and he said, it's all in your mind. He said, yes, you probably do feel better for walking in the woods, but it's psychological. It's nothing to do with the trees and energy and all this stuff. It's just psychological. And I said, well, surely in that case, isn't it good to go for a walk in the woods? And he said, well, what do you mean? I said, well, it works. Whether it's the woods, the trees, or it's purely psychological, if it works, it works. And he did have to admit, it's a good point. The trouble is with any subject like this to do with well-being and mental health, physical health, eating properly, some people, only very few, they go too far. They ram all their thoughts and feelings and ideas down people's throats. They're in people's faces all the time, marching around the place, going on about tree hugging and stuff. And it quite understandably puts people off. People think, oh, I don't want to know. Don't talk to me about going to the woods and hugging trees and all this stuff, which I think is a shame because there is a lot of truth in it. It's just that some people go over the top and it tends to push people away from the very idea or the notion that there's anything at all in the woods and nature that can perhaps help us. Just made me think back. My grandfather was a vegan in the 1950s. Can you imagine that? People thought he was off his rocker. They thought he was some kind of barn pot. Well, he was. He was, actually. And he used to ram it down people's throats. Anyone eating meat, he'd tell them, oh, you shouldn't be eating flesh and all this. And even in books, fiction, you know, like Winnie the Pooh or whatever, if it said that they were eating roast beef, he'd get a red pen and scribble through the line on the book and put comments in the margin. You know, the author shouldn't have these people eating meat and, oh, dear me. So that's, even back in the 50s, imagine that, a vegan. As I say, he was looked upon as a complete nutcase. Just shows how good my memory is. They were eating roast beef. That was from Alice in Wonderland, because he used to read me the book as a bedtime story when I was a kid, Alice in Wonderland. And he would change what he was reading with the red pen, but also telling me the story. They were eating nut roast, he'd say, when it said roast beef. He was way before his time with his plastic jacket and his plastic shoes, no leather, plastic belt, a proper 100% vegan, way before his time. He'd have done well these days. No, thinking about it, he would have still been a nutter. So there we are. I won't bore you anymore with going to the woods and things. But do try it. If you're feeling stressed, I don't know how far away the woods might be from you, but do try it. Go for a walk in the woods. Probably best to be on your own, if you can. Don't upset your partner. I'm going for a walk in the woods. You're not coming with me because that will cause stress. It'll have the opposite effect. But do just go and have a walk in the woods on your own. Sit down somewhere if the ground's dry, or even if it's wet, it's only water. Sit down and relax and just breathe in the smell of the trees and the plants. Listen to the sounds of the woods, the animals, the leaves blowing in the breeze. Feel all your senses, you know, feel a tree. Don't hug it. Feel the ground. Just touch a tree. Just feel it and relax. And if you're anything like me, you'll find that the stress just slowly drifts away. It works for me anyway. There we are. Hope you've enjoyed this episode. Next week is, I'm not going to tell you what next week is, because I don't know. I haven't got a clue. If you've any ideas, please email me. I'd love to hear from you. It's raysrants@protonmail.com. Raysrants, all one word, @protonmail.com. As I say, I'd love to hear from you, and I do answer all emails. Take care. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye for now.